morning. I go through cycles in my life of my eating patterns to where I have I'm motivated to start eating well, right, correctly, with the aid of my wife, who was right there beside me, encouraging me and such things. But what happens is I can get so delighted in food. I eat sometimes just to eat. And then I find that a lot of the foods that I really enjoy don't have much taste anymore. You ever been there? The stuff you don't, you sort of take for granted and you just start eating it. And sometimes just to eat it, to eat it. Then when I start to pattern my eating habits, the joy of those tastes come back, right? And I forget how good, like, fruit tastes and how good, like, celery tastes. There's only, like, three vegetables that I like. So it's basically salad, lettuce, and carrots, because I'm told that corn does not count as a starch, and potatoes don't count. If they did, I have five vegetables that I really enjoy eating. But there's a sense of me that says, why do I get into those patterns? I don't want to get into those patterns. I don't want my food to be bland. I don't want the good foods to be bland. I mean, even when I go without chocolate for a long time, man, to have a piece of chocolate really satisfies the taste, everything about it. You know, I don't want to be, one of the things that I try to guard against is I don't always want to be a pessimist. I don't want to give the bleak picture of things. But sometimes it is apparent to me, and I feel like I want to convey those things. We in this country have gone on an eating binge with religion. To even where some of the good things, some of the beautiful things, some of the things that are so precious to us almost lose its impact in our lives. There's a sense that says that we get lost sometimes in the religiosity of our faith. If you've been anywhere around the world, oftentimes you'll see that Christianity has a certain perspective and picture to those who are in other parts of the world. They look at the United States and what we're piping out as far as TV, as far as entertainment, and they're labeling that as Christianity. You know what God says? Taste and see that I'm good. Those who take refuge in me will find satisfaction. The elements of our walk with Jesus are so powerful, and oftentimes get caught up in the religiosity. A religion, I might remind you, that is without power. There is a positive spin to this, so don't get discouraged here. In his book, The Heart of Christianity, Marcus Borg of Oregon State University describes how his university students have a uniformly negative image of Christianity. When I asked them to write a short essay on the impression of Christianity, says Borg, they consistently use five objectives. Christians are literalistic, anti-intellectual, self-righteous, judgmental, and bigoted. Christians might object, rather defensively, that it's unfair to draw sweeping conclusions based upon the report of one person, which I would agree. If you think that way, you'd be right in your logic and wrong in your conclusion. A new book called Unchristian by David Kinnaman of the Barna Group presents objective research that supports Borg's subjective anecdote. Kinnaman's three-year study documents how an overwhelmingly percentage of 16 to 29-year-olds view Christians with hostility, resentment, and disdain. These broadly and deeply negative views of Christians aren't just superficial stereotypes with no basis in reality, says Kinnaman. Nor are the critics people who've had no contact with churches or Christians. It would be a tragic mistake, he argues, for believers to protest that outsider outrage at Christians is a misperception. Rather, it's based upon real experiences that people have had who were interviewed. According to Kinnaman-Barnes' study, here are the percentages of people outside the church who think that following words describe present-day Christianity. Anti-homosexual, 91%. Judgmental, 87%. Hypocritical, 85%. Old-fashioned, 78%. Too political, 75%. Out of touch with reality, 72%. Insensitive to others, 70%. Boring, 68%. What do you think? Does this rightfully express or demonstrate your relationship with Jesus? Is this how you see Jesus? Is this the character that you've recognized that drew you to him? I'm saddened by this. It actually breaks my heart. Because in the essence of what's going on around us, whatever is going on, this is what we're portraying to a lost world. And a lost world is in desperate need of the person of Jesus Christ in their life. Period. Let's get some things straight. God wants us to be a demonstration. He wants us to be a proclamation of something. He wants us to stand for things. Don't get me wrong. Yet the character of Christ is being misrepresented in the world. Now, what you see, these things are a direct reflection of what happens when we try to live out our Christianity. When we, under our own power, determine that we can live out our own lives based on our own sovereignty, based on our own ability, based on our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own intellect. And what happens is we become defensive. And we demonstrate more of the fruits of the flesh than the fruits of the Spirit. Taste and see that I'm good. Those who take their refuge in me will find stability and strength. You'll find wholeness. The world is searching for wholeness, for completeness. I began to read a few verses last week out of Ephesians 1. Let me finish that. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He is the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ. He takes us to high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundation, this is amazing to me, he had us in mind that we would be, that he had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of his love. Before the creation, before anything, he had settled on us being the focus of his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What a pleasure he took in planning this. What pleasure he took in planning on the fact that we were going to be the focus of his love and his grace. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. We're a free people. Free of penalties and punishments. Chalked up by all our misdeeds. We're free of punishment and penalties chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set out before us in Christ a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in the deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. That is the completeness of what God wants to do. This is his plan. It's not to save us partially. It's not to forgive us partially. It's not to enlighten us partially. It's not to give us part of his Spirit. It's to give us the whole of himself as followers of Jesus. We today celebrate that. We celebrate that in baptism. We celebrate that in recognizing the actual penalty that Christ paid on our behalf. That we would be set free abundantly. Abundantly free. Not partially. I'm going to ask those who are... So Lance, it's Isaiah, my friend, come on up. Listen to these people's testimonies and understand what Christ is doing in their lives, what Christ has done in their lives, what he's doing in their lives, and what he will do in their lives. Not as partial, but as completely. Completeness that God brings and wholeness that he brings.
So this is Isaiah. He's my second son, and he's 9. He came to faith when he was 5, around that time, and expressed faith in Christ and was saved to the utmost. And I asked him recently, I said, hey, we're going to have some baptisms on Sunday. Would that be something you might be interested? And he said, I don't know. I'll let you know. And so he came to me yesterday and said, Dad, I want to get baptized. And I asked him why. I said, well, why do you want to get baptized? And do you remember what you told me? Why do you want to get baptized today?
I prayed about it, and God called me to do it, and I want to show that I love Jesus to the world. And that's it.
Yeah. So we talked about it a little bit. We talked about how baptism is really just a symbol, like the ring on my finger. If I take this ring off, it doesn't mean that I'm not married to my wife anymore. But this baptism doesn't really change anything. It doesn't make him any more clean spiritually. It might make him clean physically a little bit more, right? If that water... But it doesn't really change anything other than it is a declaration, just like this ring is. This is a declaration that I am Megan's. And this baptism is a declaration today that Isaiah belongs to Jesus. And I'm hoping I can get through it without crying. So this is fantastic. What do you believe about Jesus?
That he died for me and that he can save us if we believe that he rose from dying on the cross, and that if we have faith, we can be his.
Very good. Well said. You ready? We're going to let the other people give testimony as well before we dunk you. Okay? All right. Very good.
Wow, he's a little Lance, isn't he? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, Tyler and Haley. Dangerously give Tyler the microphone.
Yes.
But I've asked Tyler and Haley to just give us an indication of their walk with Jesus, who they were before they met him, how they met him, and now what difference he's making in their lives.
Well, I became a believer in Christ when I was about 15 years old, and had known Jesus my whole life, really, because my parents, you know, grew up in church, and but the transformation didn't really occur. I think if I would have, you know, passed away at some point, I probably would have gone to heaven because I was saved, but really the he was just grooming me for the time that he was going to really make himself known to me. And that happened January 14th, 2014. There was some sin in my life that hadn't been dealt with, and he was just taking me to this journey of really making his presence in my life known to the point of becoming, as Matthew 5 says, happy are the poor in spirit. And I lived my life in just kind of painting over, just trying my best as under my own control, as you were just saying, under my own sovereignty, to just, you know, do this walk with Christ by myself without him, which is doesn't make any sense at all. And now that moment where I was, it was 6 p.m., I just remember it so vividly, where I was just dumping all of this stuff out and completely broken and shattered in spirit. And then all of a sudden there's this joy that comes along with it that's so unexplainable and unspeakable. You don't understand it. And now I understand what the Beatitudes really mean. Happy are the broken in spirit. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who mourn. Mourn over their sin. And now the transformation is that I just walk in extreme conviction to the Holy Spirit and allow him to really transform my mind. In Scripture, just I'm just reading it. I can't read enough of it. I love it. Like before, I just never really knew what I was doing. I just kind of read the words. But now they're being etched in my heart. And that's the transformation that occurs. And so that's why I'm here, to proclaim the goodness of Christ and to let him work through me instead of me trying to control, because I fail miserably when I do that. So he's good.
There's been transformation in my life to even allow Haley up here with a Notre Dame shirt. Go ahead. So, Haley, tell me a little bit about when you first were introduced to the person of Jesus.
Well, I don't like to talk in front of people, so this is awkward. When I went, what?
Transformation.
I went to church and I didn't really care. Just went, thought that I could just get away with going and doing whatever I want after. That was when I was first introduced, I guess, but transformation didn't happen until this year as well. So
So tell me a little bit of what he means to you. What have you seen him do in your own life and your walk?
Really just humble me. I can't do it on my own.
So. It's a dependence. Amen. And so I would guess you would proclaim that Jesus is Lord now in your life.
Yes.
Amen. That's good. That's excellent.
I don't like talking to people.
Good. Well, let me, if you want to come, we're going to get in position, and I'm going to take my mic off, which I was afraid I was not going to remember to do. So there would have been some sparks and everything. That would have been exciting. Take your mic off. So we're going to lead. Thank you. We're going to lead in. I can talk a little bit since the water's warm, right? If it was cold, then you won't make it on with it. I talked to both Tyler and Haley on some of what we believe as far as baptism, and it's all good things. It's all dependent on our identity, our identifying with Christ. You've heard it said that it's our identity with Christ in his death and his resurrection. And I was reading, I went to seminary to Grace Brethren. I was reading a little bit of what they believe as far as baptism and what they practice. Now they practice a triune? Dunking three times. Okay, and their thought is that their belief is that you're identifying with the Father, you're identifying with the Son, and you're identifying with the Holy Spirit in relationship. I thought that was beautiful, that we are being not just identifying with concepts, we're identifying ourselves with God in three persons, in relationship, in deep, impactful relationship. And so Scripture says, Matthew 28, go through all the world, teaching people to obey what I've commanded. And what did he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
So
So based on Haley's commitment to Christ, her proclamation of what he means to her, and that she has been born again, born anew, a new creation, it gives me great pleasure and honor to baptize you, Haley, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace, emptied Himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. His mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me?
I've had an amazing blessing to be witness to what God is doing in Tyler and Haley's life. It's only by the power of God, and they would be the first to tell you. And I've seen amazing things come out of the mouths of both of them. I've spent time with Tyler. Some things that he says reach to the heart of me, and they can only be put there by the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can speak words of eternity, of life. And I've been blessed. And based on the fact
that you have been made anew, that you have been forgiven of everything, and that you have a new life in Christ now, and you've proclaimed His Lordship in your life, Tyler, gives me great honor and blessing to baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me?
Isaiah, I think you've already said all that needs to be said this morning, that your faith is in Christ. And this baptism is just a symbol of His death and resurrection, new life. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
One more time, amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Really, really good, isn't he? I would like for us to do something. If you're new here, I don't want you to make you feel uncomfortable. But if you would like, what we're going to do is I'm going to sit down, and I would like for you to verbalize. Not if you're new, that sounded bad. If you're new here, I would like for you to stand and sing and do a little... What I would like for you to do is I would like for you to verbalize what Jesus means to you. And just a sentence. And I'm going to sit down. I'm going to give you opportunity to do that. You've heard it, that killed Haley to be able to, up here. As you know, most of us deal with those kinds of things. To be able to express those things. I would like for you to express those things. Now, we often say that, you know, just think of Jesus being here. He is here. He is here. We don't have to imagine or even to try to manipulate his presence. He's here, make no doubt. And he lives in the heart of his followers. But what I would like for you to do is, and if you want to use this as a jumping point, Jesus, thank you. You've heard testimony of forgiveness, of renewal, of being forgiven fully. I would like for you to express things to Jesus. And why do we do this out loud? It's so you can edify the rest of us. Because what you believe about him is probably going to be similar to what we believe about him. What you're thankful for in your relationship with him, we're all thankful for those things. So, Jesus, I thank you for. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Once again, a beautiful symbol, an opportunity for us to reflect on the price that Jesus paid for you and I's freedom. Once again, as Lance said, this is not the table of the Alliance. This is not the table of ACC. This is Christ's table. And if you have relationship with him, we would like for you to take together with us.